see God's glory. We will see His glory. We will not give up. We will not give up. We will see His glory. We will believe. For He has said it, and He will do it. He has said it, He will do it. Don't be afraid. Don't get worried. Just pretend you are mad. Pretend you are a fool. Pretend you don't think. I can't think far. Pretend you can't think far. You can't think madness. Pretend I can't think far. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just marching around Jericho because God has said it. And I know in due course, if I don't give up, I will achieve. We as believers, we must look beyond the seen and see the unseen and be motivated by the unseen, be directed by the unseen, be detected through by the unseen. Embrace your past without looking back, which means you must get to terms with your past and know that this is my past. God has changed me and God can work something beautiful out of my life regardless of my past. And don't allow anybody to use your past to judge you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Begin to pray in the spirit for some few seconds. Libra hatoyan libra kata hata. Libra katoyan darabahadosi. Sikro toluhata yahara. Lindoro boho sikahata. Mandoro boko taha. Yanda yabahadosi. Griba lo zindoro boho kataha. Komaha libra libo kotoraha. Lama yantalabahata kata. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Only you deserve the glory. Only you deserve all the honor. Only you deserve the adoration. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Go Mahataya Dala. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We thank you for this opportunity, O God. We thank you that we can never leave your presence. We thank you that you are forever in our hearts, O God. And your presence will never leave our spirits. We pray, O God, that you grant us understanding into your word. Let your word fall like rain and like the dew, and let it penetrate the innermost recesses of our hearts. Change us, O God. Help us, O God. Have mercy, O God. Release grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God for this opportunity and this privilege that He has given us to always come into His presence and always experience His loving kindness. Whenever we release worship to God, God breathes in worship and He breathes out revelation. He inhales worship and exhales revelation. So anytime we release worship to God, God responds to us by releasing revelation.
This morning, I want us to look at what I call seeing through God's eyes. Seeing through God's eyes. In other words, seeing from God's perspective. If we can walk with God and we can make impact on this earth, we must always see things the way God sees them. As a matter of fact, anytime we see differently from God, we are deceived. Anytime we see differently from God, we are deceived. God wants us to see in the same way that He sees, so that we will have the same reaction that God will have toward things, towards events, towards circumstances. Bible says, can two work together unless they are agreed? Can two people work together unless they are in agreement? And the Bible says that the ways of God are not our ways. He said, for my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. And he said, as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Which means that, naturally speaking, God's ways are always higher than our ways. And in fact, God's ways are almost always contrary to our ways. So before we can work with God, we must come to terms with God and begin to see things from His perspective. Otherwise, we will never be able to fulfill God's purpose on this earth. So it is a priority that we see, because anytime we see differently from God, we are walking in deception. That is why God always enjoins us to pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, can be opened, so that we can see from God's perspective. In the book of Revelation, when Jesus came to the church of Laodicea, which represents the end time church, the seventh church age, He said, you think that you are rich and you are increased with goods, and then you are clothed in gold, but you don't know that you are poor and wretched, miserable and blind. And He said, ask me and I will anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You see, everything that we'll ever do on this earth will be affected by how we see. The way you relate with people, the way you go about God's work, the way you go about your own life will be a reflection of how you see. So the spectacles that you are seeing through is very important. That is why when we become born again, God helps us to renew our mind. The reason is that God wants us to come to the same wavelength that He is traveling on. The same wavelength, so that we can see with Him. We can see as He sees. Hallelujah. Now, if we don't see from God's perspective, we cannot please Him. We cannot please Him. The Bible says that, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And anyone who comes to God must believe that He is. Now, faith is a gift that God gives us so that we can see as He sees. That is why to walk in faith is always contrary to the world. Because God's way of seeing things is different from the world's way of seeing things. Now, when God imparts faith to you and you begin to see from God's perspective, you become strange in the eyes of the world. Because the world sees differently from God. The way God sees is different from the way the world sees. But He wants us to walk by faith. In other words, not according to the dictates of the world, but according to how He sees, His perspective, Whenever we bring his perspective to bear, when we bring it to bear, the world will never understand us. But that is the only way that we can also please God. So it is very important. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. It says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, what he's trying to say is that we, as believers, we must look beyond the seen and see the unseen and be motivated by the unseen, be directed by the unseen, be detected to by the unseen. He said the one that we see, the thing that we see with our natural eyes, they are temporary. But the things that are unseen to the natural eyes, but seen to the spiritual eyes or the eyes of understanding, those things are eternal. That is where God imparts faith. Faith simply is to help us to see from his perspective and to live according to what we see. So you will find somebody walking by faith, not walking by sight. And you say that the person becomes strange in the eyes of the people that he lives among. Why? Because he's dancing to a different beat, a different tune. Different from the tune they are dancing to. Bible says, when everybody says there's a casting down, you say there's a rising up. He said, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Now, when you begin to speak like that, you become strange to people that you are living among, because according to them and from their perspective, the general cry or the general trend is that you are poor. But because you are seeing and you are listening to a different tune and dancing to a different tune, though your circumstances may be telling you that you are poor, but you are speaking that you are rich. That is how the faith work is, and it's very important. 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says we must walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. Now, the world can never understand God. The world can never understand God because the world is always at variance. The way the world sees is always opposite to the way God sees. So, in order to please God, Bible says we cannot be friends with the world and be friends with God at the same time. Because in order to please God, we must displease the world. In order to please God, we must begin to operate in accordance with what we see him do, what we hear him say, not what we see around us or we hear around us. So, walking by faith means that you are seeing what is around you, but your perspective is from above. You interpret what goes on in the world from a heavenly perspective. You see things from heaven's perspective. Heaven has a perspective on every issue that you come to contact with. Every situation that you find yourself in, there's a heavenly perspective. Every person that you meet, there is a heavenly perspective. So you don't judge according to appearance, you judge according to heaven's perspective. And as you go along, you will see that the thing that the world is so crazy about, God doesn't respect them. In fact, the things that the world esteems, God turns them as abominations. Come to Luke chapter 16, verse 14. Let me show you something there. Luke 16, verse 14 and 15. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him, and he said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now this one tells us that the way God thinks is exactly opposite to the way the world thinks. The things the world respects, God doesn't respect. The things the world doesn't respect, God respects. And God has intentionally made it so that he will always go opposite to the world. That is why Bible says it takes those who walk in faith to overcome the world. He said, this is the vision that we have overcome. Even our faith, 1 John 5:4, it is our faith that overcomes the world, because faith is living from God's perspective. And so the faith person will always look like a fool in the eyes of the world. The faith person will always look weak in the eyes of the world. The faith person will always look strange in the eyes of the world. Do you know why now we as Christians, now we are not effective? Because we are not prepared to look foolish in the eyes of the world. Now we want to think like the world thinks. We want to win the world by becoming like the world. But God's purpose and God's way is to think contrary to the world. So the things we esteem in this life, the world esteems. How the world describes success is different from how God describes success. How the world sees significance is different. How the world sees greatness is different from how God sees greatness. So if you want to walk with God, you better begin to see greatness as God sees greatness. And to see success as God sees success, not as the world sees success. Because anything that is esteemed in this world is an abomination in the sight of God. Therefore, to walk with God is to take the narrow way. The narrow way means the difficult way. The narrow way is always the lonely way. Because if the world is going this way, you must go that way. And majority is going this way. In the Bible, God was always in the minority. In the Bible, God was always in the minority. The whole world says, we want to do this. God, Noah, only Noah and his family says, we'll do otherwise. People are saying that we are building and planting and getting married and being married. Only Lot and his family says, we are moving. God was always in a minority. So majority is right. It's not how God thinks. What God says is right. And where God stands, that is right. Elijah, all the people of Israel were worshiping Baal. Only Elijah stands up and he says, no, this is a true way. Let's follow it. And he was one man against 800 false prophets. God was always in the minority. When many people want to go, God will decide to go opposite. So all those who work with God in the Bible, they were regarded as good for nothing people. But today, because we don't want to look foolish in the eyes of the world, we have gone to compromise with the world. And we have begun to look at things from worldly standards. Now we see greatness according to the standard of the world, not according to God's standard. And we have imported it into the church to the extent that now we are beginning to apply worldly canons of assessment in the church. Worldly yardsticks in the church. Even how we promote or give people position in the church now, today, is not according to God's standard. It's according to the world's standard. Today, it is not uncommon to find people who may be rich, educated, but whose spiritual status are not even distinct, occupying positions in church. Why? Because in the eyes of the world, greatness is in money. In the eyes of the world, greatness is in education. Listen, what the world respects, God doesn't respect. In Luke chapter 3, he says, when Herod was king, was the king, and when this one was the governor, this one was an emperor, and he said, and Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. There was some dribbling there. God was just dribbling them. He dribbled the ball past Herod and Annas and Caiaphas and Pilate and all those guys and located John the Baptist in the wilderness? What attire was he wearing? Camel's hair. What food was he eating? Locusts and wild honey. God bypassed all the sumptuous meals in the palace and located somebody in the wilderness. God has not changed. That is how God thinks. That's how he sees things. So we better come to God's level and begin to operate according to God's level. Otherwise, we are deceived. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you some points about the way God sees certain things, or the way God the way that God does his things, and the way man or the world also sees it. So I call it the paradox of God's perspective. It's a paradox. But if we can understand this, then we can understand God, and then we can walk with God. In the eyes of God, the way to higher heights is deeper depths. In the sight of God, the way to the top is down. In the sight of the world, the way to the top is obviously up. But not so in the kingdom. In the kingdom, it is down. It is deeper depths for higher heights. Philippians 2 verse 5. Philippians 2 verse 5 downwards. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him, and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, is started by, he made himself of no reputation. The way to the top is always down in the eyes of God. So if you are not down, God will never lift you to the top. Because as far as God is concerned, when God wants to lift people to the top, he goes down. Jesus Christ, he said, he made himself of no reputation. The Greek word is kenosis. He emptied himself. He reduced himself. He did not cease to be God, but he stripped himself of his powers or his rights as God, and became man. Then being found in appearance as man, he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. See the downward motion from heaven to earth as man. That is humiliating enough. To leave heaven and come to earth is already humiliating. Then as a man, to become a servant is further humiliation. Then to be obedient to death is further humiliation. And what kind of death? Death on the cross, further humiliation. Death on the cross in those days was reserved for the most despicable, cruel, wicked sinners. Bible says he was numbered among transgressors. So if you look at how God has highly exalted him, then you know that Jesus Christ taught the way God thinks. So he humbled himself and humbled himself and came down to the lowest. That is why God also raised him up to the highest. He said, he that ascended also first descended to the lowest parts of the earth. And he ascended, now he's higher than the heavens. Why? Because he went lower than the hell. So the way to greatness is servanthood. The way to greatness in the world is not servanthood. Now, people can describe for you how to be great. In the world, the way to greatness is for you to hype and brand yourself and use connections. That's the way to greatness. Unfortunately, in the church. We have imported those things into the church. But the way to greatness is servanthood. He said, he that will become great among you, let him become the least among you. Let him become the servant among you. Then you can be the greatest. That is a paradox. It is one of the things that baffles the minds of people whose minds are not renewed to think like God thinks. Because we see greatness in a different way than God sees it. When you read the Bible in Luke chapter 1, the angel told Zechariah, he said, your son, he said, he shall be great in the sight of God. Not in the sight of man. He said, he shall be great in the sight of God. And Jesus Christ said, there is no one born of woman greater than John. That's before Jesus came. No one born of woman. John never worked any miracles. According to John 10:42. He never worked one single miracle. But Jesus Christ said, anybody who has ever come to this world, talk of the Elijahs, the Moses, the Abrahams, the Davids, and all these guys, Daniels and Elijahs, he said, none of them was greater than John. According to our perspective, power is a symbol of greatness. That is not with God. So we rate ourselves, we give ranks based on power. God gives rank based on intimacy. John the Baptist was the closest to the Messiah. He was the only prophet who prophesied by the Messiah and also saw him. That is why he was the greatest among all the prophets. Jesus Christ called him greater than the prophet. Recently, I was reading Benny Hinn's story after he had an encounter with Jesus. And he said he met Jesus and Jesus told him that, I've given you a second chance. He said, you will have failed, but I've given you a second. It's there. Check the internet. He said, you would have failed if you were to die now. You would have been a failure. And he said, it got to a point he was operating the anointing without the presence. He said he was operating the anointing, but there was no intimacy, no fellowship with God. So the anointing was producing results, but God was not in it. That is why it is very scary. And when you are rating yourself, rate yourself by intimacy, not by power. Even though intimacy produces power, God rates us by the intimacy, by the personal relationship, not by the power we display. Heaven is not moved by your power. Heaven is not intimidated by power. Heaven is not touched by your power. But heaven is touched by your love. Rejoinder went to heaven and he said, here we are not impressed by power or exploits. He said, we are impressed when we see fallen man showing love. Because power, heaven is power, where power comes from. So the way to greatness is servanthood. If you want to be great, become a servant. Reduce yourself. You see, one day the Lord told me, he said that working with me demands that you'll be stripped. Either you strip yourself or I strip you. And he said, if you strip yourself, that is called humility. He said, when I strip you, that is called humiliation. So you either strip yourself or God strips you. When you strip yourself, you are humbling yourself before God. When you allow God to strip you, that will be humiliation. Because you can't work with God without emptying yourself, without stripping yourself. Hallelujah. The road into the city of wisdom is through the village of foolishness. To walk with God, to get the wisdom of God, you must become a fool. 1 Corinthians 3:18. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. unless you are prepared to become a fool, you are not included in God's list of wise people. God is not looking for wise people, looking for people who are fools. So that he can make them wise, so that no flesh will glory in his presence. That is why God's toolbox is always full of unimpressive tools. When God is doing something and you want to see the package before you believe, you will never believe. Because God's things come in unattractive packages. Unattractive packages. That's how God does his things. He wraps his things with unattractive wrappers. Precious things in unordinary wrappers. So if you look at the outward, you will always miss God. The wise men nearly missed God. They went straight to the palace, having been led by the star from the east. When they got to Israel, they went straight to the palace. That was a miss. They missed God. Because they were using human intellect that a king should be born in the palace. So they went straight to the palace. Bible says when they came out of the palace, they saw the star and they were happy. Then the star led them to the stable. It always takes revelation to identify God. You can never use your mind, because in your mind, you will reject God's package, because it doesn't come in attractive wrappers. That is why you can sometimes reject somebody who will be a very good husband and wife to you by looking at the outward, the package. This person is this. Let God guide you, because you make a decision based on the outward and you are walking according to the world. We need revelation to see the invisible, to go beyond the outward and to seek to locate the content. That is why all of God's messengers, they were rejected. Look at John the Baptist. Will you be proud of John walking with him on the street? Look at his dressing. Look at the way he presents himself. So unpolished and uncouth. Eating locusts and wild honey. Living in the wilderness. No decent accommodation or apartment. And yet, that was where heaven's attention was. That was where heaven was looking at. There are a lot of places that we are crazy about, waste our time, but heaven doesn't look at those places. I'm telling you the truth. There are a lot of places that we rush to. Heaven doesn't even look at those places. Because we are judging by the world standard. How can you conceive this? That a king should be born in a stable? If it's not by revelation, how can you locate a king in a stable? It is unthinkable. God's ways are unthinkable. They look foolish. It always takes revelation to decode. Because the wisdom of God always comes in a mystery. Paul said, yet we preach the wisdom of God in a mystery, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the rulers of this age. For had they this wisdom, they wouldn't have crucified a lot of glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. If they knew what God was about, they would never have crucified Jesus. But God's wisdom was hidden in a mystery. That out of death, life can come. So Satan thought he was putting to death Jesus, killing him. But God knew that he was producing life out of his death. That is a mystery. It takes revelation to understand that. Man cannot perceive, cannot comprehend it. That is why the preaching on the cross is always foolishness. It takes the mercy of God. Hallelujah. So God will always go contrary to tradition, contrary to popular knowledge, contrary to popular opinion. So not all popular opinions are of God. Don't accept things because it is popular. Accept things because it has been accepted. Accept things based on revelation. On revelation, what is God saying? Samuel went to Jesse's house and he saw Eliab. Then he said, oh, the Lord's anointed. Why? Because he's so tall. So tall and handsome. God said, look, I have rejected him. He didn't say, I have not chosen him. He said, I have rejected him. For you are a man, you look at the outward, but I look at the inward. Man looks at the appearance. That is why when you are going for an interview, you must appear nice. Yeah, because man looks at the outward. That is the way the world. So that's why you are working with the world, you must use wisdom. In regard to the world, the Bible says we should be wise. Because you are going to seek for employment. Eh? Yeah, you must be able to impress. That is okay. When it comes to the things of God, you don't bring that to the things of God. In the things of God, we don't impress. Hallelujah. So God's wisdom is always in a mystery. The mystery of little things carrying great power. It's a mystery. Little things carrying great power. God will take something little and put great power in it. Why? To confound the wise. To confound the wise and the prudent. God chose to dwell in a common ark. Ark that any carpenter can make. That was where God's power, all of God, was dwelling in that ark. Something as brittle and as weak as an ark. A piece of wood. And yet, that contained God's power. No wonder Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, weak vessels. The mystery of little things carrying great power. The power of the seed. The power of yeast. Jesus Christ said, gave a parable, and he said that a certain woman took 3 measures of meal and introduced yeast into it. And the whole lump was living. The yeast looked so weak and so small, so little. And yet, it was able to affect the whole lump. The kingdom of God is so mighty and so powerful. But on this earth, the kingdom always starts in a very insignificant way. Very, very weak way. Very, 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 very small way. God starts big things in small ways. Satan starts small things in big ways. When God wants to take a city, God looks for a baby. God wanted to save them from Egypt. God looked for a baby. Your mind will never come to the baby. And yet, that is where God's deliverance is. Big things that start in small ways. If you get to know where River Nile, the source is, the source, the head of the river is a very small river, like a stream, small stream in Zimbabwe. Small stream. That's the beginning of River Nile. The largest river in the world. The beginning is a stream. That is how God thinks. So God will take the whole of heaven, all the riches, all the power of heaven, and God will wrap them up and put it in a little child in a manger. And Herod is there talking about politics and leadership, but this child holds the key. That is why the gospel looks so innocent and so despised and so weak. And yet through the preaching of the gospel, Bible says they turn their world upside down. Paul and co. never attacked institutions. In their time, there was idol worship. There was slave trade. Paul never spoke against slave trade. He never attacked Caesar. He just preached the gospel. And by time, Caesar was trembling. They shook the foundations of all the systems, political system, military system, economic system, but they were not making noise. They were just preaching the gospel. He said, we are struck down, but we are not dead. He said, as dying, yet we make many alive. As possessing nothing, yet make many rich. That is a mystery. You don't have anything, but you're making people rich. It's a mystery. The wisdom of God is always in a mystery. If you're not prepared to go the opposite, you can never understand God. James 3:5, he says, see how great fire, a little fire kindled. A little fire, it can burn a whole forest. That is how God works. He will drop some little fire here, then he will leave. A little here, then he will leave. A little there, then he will leave. Before the world realizes, the fire is consuming every part of the world. But it always starts in a very small, insignificant way, so that people can despise, so that the world, the wise can overlook. He said, Father, thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have chosen to reveal them to the babes. And he said, even that is what pleases you, revealing it to the babes and suckling, and then concealing it from the wise. Hallelujah. Number two, the mystery of hidden things carry more weight than seen things. The mystery of hidden things carry more weight than seen things. That is also a mystery. That is how God also thinks. In the sight of God, the things that are hidden, they are more precious. And they are weightier than the things that are seen. In Matthew 6:5-7, Jesus Christ said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand in public to pray for all to see that they are praying. But he said, by you, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Now, he wasn't talking about a literal closet where you go and enter into. He was saying that God's order and God's way is for the thing to be hidden before sin. And God puts more attention, more premium on the thing that is hidden than what is seen. That is why God is not impressed by what you do in public. He is impressed by what you do in private. God is not impressed by what you do in public. He is impressed by what you do in private. If you have not been in private with God, he will not be with you in public. The Father loves secrets. That is why before God will release you, he will first of all send you into the closet. He will hide you. He is training you to think like him. That you must minister to God's needs first before you minister to man's needs. Even in ministry, God will train you that you must satisfy me first. You must satisfy me first, and when I'm full, then I will satisfy you. But we want to satisfy people first, and then we lead God. True ministry is not preaching to people. True ministry is not healing the sick and casting out devils. True ministry is standing before God. Walk before me, Abraham, and be thou perfect. Stand before me. Let me be your only audience. That is where true ministry begins. You have no desire to impress. You are impressing him in a secret place. You are impressing him in a secret place. That is true ministry. Not until that one is achieved, you have not started the ministry. If you can't, that's why the high priest, when he's going to the tabernacle, in the Bible, he said there should be no man in the tabernacle. No man. Only the high priest. When he goes to the Holy of Holies, he stands before God, and only he is the only one that is there. Why? God wants to teach him, to impress him first. And that is where your foundation is. Your foundation is always hidden. If all the prayers you pray are the ones you pray publicly, then your prayer life is weak. Hello? The foundation of this building is hidden. You can't see. But that is what carries the building. What sustains you as a believer is what happens in the secret place. The strength and the height your ministry will go is the depth that you've dug. How you have lived your life before God. That is why Elijah could not be bought with money. Elijah could not be bought with money. He said, as surely as the Lord God lives before whom I stand. He said, Ahab, I'm not standing before you, I'm standing before God. He had been trained to see only God as his audience. That is the kind of training that God wants to give us. That is why sometimes God will hide you. You are anointed, but God will hide you. You can preach, but God will hide you. Why? He wants to train you to minister to him first. To try and impress him first, not people. When God is impressed, then God will release you to minister to people. When Abraham had prepared food for God and the two angels, and they had eaten, and they were full, then God said, where is Sarah, your wife? He said, she's in the tent. He said, a year by this time, I will come, and Sarah will embrace the son. Why? God was filled. He was satisfied. Abraham had lived before God. That is where true ministry begins. Ministry doesn't begin when you finish Bible school. Doesn't begin when you can preach. It doesn't begin when your senior pastor does something against you. No. Ministry begins when God has taken you to the secret place. When you have lived a life of impressing only God. Otherwise, when God releases you, Satan will identify gaps in you. Look at the gaps. There are many people in ministry right now, they are riding on people's applause and people's praises. Because they lack something called acceptance inside. I'm telling you, it's a very big problem. They lack acceptance. There's a void in them that have not been filled yet. So they ride on people's acceptance. If people can control you with their praises, they can control you with their criticisms. They can stop you with their criticisms. So God will make sure that you are dead either to praise or to insult. You see somebody who is a man of God and somebody has insulted him, he's killing the person. You see that there is somebody who has not been thoroughly furnished. Because even Jesus was insulted. He said when he was reviled, he opened not his mouth. When he was rebuked, he threatened not. That is when God has finished preparing you. So he said, I'm walking before God. The Holy of Holies was the part that carried the most gold. God used, much gold in the Holy of Holies than the outer court. Pure gold. Everything in the Holy of Holies was pure gold. Because God respects the secret place than the outer court. That is why even Bible says, women, don't let your adorning be merely outward. Even the plaiting of the hair or the wearing of costly apparel, let it be rather of the hidden man of the heart. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So in the sight of God, what is more precious is the inner beauty. That is gold. The outer beauty is attraction. But the inner beauty, that is gold. Not only for women, for men too. everybody. What you do outside is attractive. What you do inside, that is where God looks at. God looks at the heart, not the words. He weighs actions. He weighs your actions, and he looks at your heart. Do you know why sometimes God will allow us to go through things? I'll tell you why in a while. Now, the mystery of life coming out of death. The mystery of life coming out of death. That is also part of God's wisdom. Something that is meant to kill you or produce death, then life comes out of that. John 12:24. Except a grain of wheat falls down to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. That is a mystery. Fruitfulness in death is a mystery. Purpose released through pain is a mystery. There are some people, their purpose of God for their lives is released after going through pain. It's a mystery. Healing released through wounds is a mystery. By his stripes we are healed. When they were beating him and they were giving him wounds, it was for our healing. Sometimes when you are hurt, you receive authority. It's a mystery. But that is how God works. That is why sometimes God allows his people to go through certain things we don't understand. The world cannot understand that. But that is how God works. He allows you to go through this. Sometimes he's birthing something out of that. Sometimes we think we need deliverance. We think we are under a curse. Sometimes you would think that you are under a curse. You would think you need deliverance because of what you are going through. In some of the cases, it is God who allows that. And for some strange reason, that's why the world cannot understand. When they were afflicting the Israelites, they were multiplying. When Pharaoh was afflicting them, that was when they were multiplying. When they were persecuting the church, that was when they were multiplying disciples. It's a mystery. When they killed Stephen, that was when the church multiplied. It's a mystery. Why should God allow persecution to multiply the church? It's a mystery. But the principle is death comes out of life. Hallelujah. So Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. The next verse, we are perplexed. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We are persecuted. We are abandoned. We are cast down. Why? So that the life that is in him will be released. God released the life through death. So death was at work in us, that life may also work in you. Hallelujah. Oh, I say hallelujah. That is God. That is God. The mystery of weakness carrying God's favor and power. The mystery of weakness, despised things, carrying God's favor, attracting God's favor, is a mystery. In the Bible, I've seen people who were not correct. In the line of Jesus, I saw Rahab the prostitute in the line of Jesus, and that is a mystery. Do you know that the first case of incest was Lot and his daughters? But do you know that they produced two nations, Ammon and Moab? And do you know that Ruth was a Moabitess? And do you know that Ruth married Boaz? And the two gave birth to Obed, who gave birth to Jesse, who gave birth to David, who gave birth to Jesus? It's a mystery. God can take somebody's mistake and turn it into a miracle. It's a mystery. That is why, you see, when you read Matthew 1, you will find every kind of person in the line of Jesus. You find prostitutes in the land of Jesus. You find incest people in the land of Jesus. You find adulterers in the land of Jesus. Bathsheba was an adulterer. She was the one who trapped David. Okay. David trapped Bathsheba. But she allowed herself to be trapped. But God loved Solomon with some passion to the extent that God sent Nathan to go and name Solomon. Gave him a name Solomon. And God gave him the throne of David. Somebody David didn't marry. He married her after she had become pregnant. Sometimes the way God does his things, if you don't know the mind of God, you will criticize God. When Samson said, "Get her for me, for she pleased me well." Bible said the father and mother said, "Is there no lady in Israel? Why do you want to go and marry a Philistine?" But I said they didn't know that from God. That God was seeking an occasion to avenge his enemies. It's also a mystery. So if you know these things, you understand how God behaves. He said, "When you are weak, then I'm strong. When you are weak, then I'm strong." He said that Paul had so many revelations, and Paul was getting proud. Then a messenger of Satan was sent to hit him. Then Paul began to pray to God, "Deliver me." And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Sometimes the greatest mistake in your life can be your greatest turning point. I'm not saying go and make the mistake. I'm saying if you have made a mistake, don't kill yourself, because God can turn it into a miracle. Don't allow your past to haunt you. There are people who are worse than you in your past, and God used them. There are some people, they have not embraced their past. You must embrace your past, but don't look back. Embrace your past without looking back. Which means you must get to terms with your past and know that this is my past. God has turned me, and God can work something beautiful out of my life, regardless of my past. And don't allow anybody to use your past to judge you, judge your present. He says, God has taken the foolish things of the world, the weak things. Weak. It will surprise you that some people that God uses powerfully, some of them, they are weak in body. It's a mystery. Well, I believe that it shouldn't be like that, but there are stories. I mean, Catherine Coleman had a heart problem, and she was healing people. It's a mystery. Mystery. People were being healed. They will go for a meeting. They will wait. They say, "Oh, the preacher has collapsed," and they are rushing her to the hospital. Yet when she comes, without speaking, blindness will go. Cripples will walk. That is why sometimes when you pray and say, "Oh God, give me power," you don't know what you're talking about. "Oh God, I want to be anointed." The way to the anointing is not take it. The way to the anointing is to go through the mill of God. Sometimes the way God will anoint you, you see, this is for David. Somebody was anointed as a king. He was running away, running in the wilderness for more than 15 years. A crown on your head spiritually, but physically, you are being chased from the palace. That is the way to anointing. That is the way to anointing. That is how God thinks. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. How can God give you great dreams like Joseph? Dreaming and you see the sun and the moon and the stars bowing to you, and the next thing happens to you is you are put in the pit. From the pit, you go to the prison. In fact, you go to Potiphar's house to encounter Potiphar's wife. After that, then you go to the prison. False accusation. You spend some years in prison, then finally you get somebody who you interpret a dream for. And you tell the person, look, when you go, remember me. Mention my name to Pharaoh. And the Bible says for 2 full years, the guy left and didn't remember Joseph. Oh, what a pity. I mean, Joseph will say, what kind of God is this? Serving God is meaningless, it's worthless. If this how the ministry is, and I'm leaving. You told me I'll be a leader. People will bow to me. Even the sun and the moon, they were bowing. And you put me in prison. You had every right to be bitter. And say, enough. Enough. I don't want any palace here. Enough. When he went to Egypt, when they were selling him, he didn't know that God was sending him. So later on, when Joseph looked back and saw God's wisdom, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said, don't be angry with yourself. You did not sell me to this place. It was God who sent me ahead of you to preserve a harvest. So the sending of God may take different routes. Maybe for you, God may call you and say, I've called you, come, I'm sending you, go. Maybe for somebody, his father's donkeys will get missing. And you will go on a search, and God will say, I've met you, I've made you a king. But for somebody, you will be sold into Egypt. And the three of them, they all landed the kingdom, but through different means. Saul had the kingdom by God hiding his father's donkeys. So he was searching for the father's donkeys. And then he found the kingdom. Now, Joseph had the kingdom by God selling him to Egypt. David, he was anointed in front of his brothers. But he was driven from his family, running in the wilderness, sleeping in caves, as if Saul could kill David. As if Saul could have killed David. God allowed it to look like Saul could have killed David. He was always running for dear life. And one mystery is also this. Saul with a crown is chasing David with no crown. The crown is on your head, but you are chasing the one with no crown. That is how insecurity can lead, where it can lead you. You see people, even in ministry, you will see people, they have everything. Everything in me, they have it. But they are chasing the one with nothing. Trying to destroy the one with nothing. It's a mystery. I'm telling you, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. God seemed to like illegitimate children in the Bible. It's a mystery. People who were illegitimate. In fact, David himself was an illegitimate child. David. Remember, they never mentioned David's mother in the Bible. You don't hear the mother's name. Even though there was a point where he took the father and mother and took them to a king and said, "Look after them for me. I'm running from Saul, so yeah, take care of them for me." But the mother's name was never mentioned. And your last born, the eighth son, how can you leave him in the wilderness with these wild animals if he was not the son of another woman? If it was not adultery that produced him. So he said, I was shaped in iniquity. He said, I was conceived in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. It could be that his mother was not the real woman, and yet he was God's choice. Judah and Tamar. Tamar was Judah's daughter-in-law, and he committed incest with Tamar. Now, one would have thought that their children were kings. That was where Perez came. Perez's name is in the line of Jesus. It's a mystery. That is why don't condemn people. When you see that somebody is down, he said, brethren, if any one of you is overtaken by a fault, you who are spiritual, restore that person in the spirit of humility, meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Because he said, God is able to make the person stand. Now, I'm finishing. The road to your own inheritance is through another man's own. It's also a mystery. Luke 16, verse 12. He said, if you are not faithful with what belongs to somebody, who will commit to your trust what belongs to you? It's a mystery. Before God will give you your own, God will give you another person's own to manage. And through that, God will see your faithfulness. At the age of 80, Moses was tending the sheep of his father-in-law. What a failure. At the age of 80, no job of his own. And he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. But God watched Moses and said, this guy, the way he's doing that for his father-in-law, he will do that for me. So God picked him and led him to shepherd the whole of Israel. David was taking care of some few sheep, risking his life to meet the lion and the bear, and God saw that he could shepherd Israel. Sometimes, the road to inheritance is right under your nose. It's right under your nose. The job you are doing, it may be the road to your own job. The ministry you are in, it may be the road to your own ministry. You see people who are employees, who are cheating their employers. Then they become employers. And people will cheat them. Maybe you, they will not cheat. Maybe you, they will steal you yourself. They will steal you. The last one. The road to the glory is through the valley of the shadow of death. Luke 24 verse 25. He said, ought not the Messiah to have suffered these things and afterward entered into his glory? 1 Peter 1:11, the things that Christ suffered and afterward entered into his glory. The way to the glory is through death. The death, the valley of the shadow of death. And that is what people don't like. That is why we have shortcuts in the system. People, nobody wants to suffer. It is no cross, no crown. Satan wanted to offer Jesus a crossless life. He said, if you bow down to me, I will give you the kingdom and the glory. But Jesus knew that the way to the kingdom and the glory is through the cross. Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He knew that the cross will lead to the crown. But Satan said, I will give you the crown without the cross. Just bow down to me. There are many people compromising in this life because they don't want to go through the cross for the crown. So the devil offers them shortcuts. Sometimes walking with God is very lonely, very difficult. The narrow path is not easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you don't have anything unless you bend your way. Are you prepared to go through the cross for the crown, or you will go for a crossless crown? The choice is yours. There are many people who went for juju in ministry because they're not prepared to go through hardship. They're not prepared to wait till God's appointed time. That is why you see people who are operating ministry, operating gifts and other things with evil powers. It's not because God, it's because they're not prepared to go through the process. They can't stand it for you to be there without any fruit. Look at the problem Abraham had. 75 years, no child. No child. Yet was serving God. Nothing to show for it. People will tell you, where is your God? You claim your God is Almighty God, El Shaddai. He can't give you a child at 75. Where is your God? Where is your God? 75. And when the pressure begins to come, you don't have answers. You see people who are not even serving your God and they are prospering, and you don't have anything to show for your service of God. And you find some people who don't think like God thinks, telling you that what you are going through is because you have missed God's plan for your life. And when you don't know what God has said, you begin to panic. You don't know that this is a way that everybody that God calls will go through. You begin to panic. You begin to bend your ways. You know how Abraham's kid became worse? When God changed his name. That was when his kid became worse. Now Abraham says, my name is Abraham, father of multitude, father of many nations. Even when you were Abraham, you didn't have one child. Now you are saying your name is Abraham. You have worsened the case. Father of nations, not even one child. It's like now, we get up and we say, we are taking nations. Even Kumasi here, where have you gone to? But we say, we are taking nations. And people don't understand. People say, you are too ambitious. They say, you are unrealistic. Kumasi, where have you conquered? We are talking about nations. But that is how God works. If you don't understand God, you will think that it is foolishness. That is why he says, let the weak say, I am strong. We are taking, sometimes the things that come out of your mouth, people don't know, they register in the spirit. We don't speak what we see around us. We speak what God has spoken. For God has spoken, who shall not prophesy? If God speaks, we prophesy. When God says this, you say it. He says, I am Abraham, father of multitude. I don't have even one child, but I am father of multitude. You can choose to believe or not. He said, God said it's going to rain. Noah has been at it for 120 years, no rain. At that time, there had not been rain before. Physical rain had not fallen before. And Noah says, there's going to come a flood. And he's preaching and building an ark. People will say he's mad. I pity Noah's wife. I pity his wife. Because Noah's wife will go to the market to buy a glove. And they will say, but you say the world is going to be destroyed. What are you using the necklace for? Your husband is saying the world is going to be destroyed. I pity Noah's wife. I was thinking about Noah's wife last week. And I almost worked for her. Because it will be very, 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 very terrible. Following this man for 120 years, no show. Always giving promises. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. There are some people who are wise, they will leave. I'm telling you, there are people who are wise, they will leave. Because they can't afford to waste their time with somebody with no vision. What is your goal? It's going to rain. Today, it's going to rain. Tomorrow, it's going to rain. No vision. But thank God that Noah's wife. If I last week I was begging for her, I prayed for her. I said, oh God, give her strength. Give Noah's wife strength. Because, and that's the situation we find ourselves in. Hallelujah. Let us see things from God's perspective. Let us see things from God's perspective. That is why sometimes God gives you a promise and then he trains you by taking you to the exact opposite of the promise. Sometimes we love prophecies. God says, you'll be great. You become rich. I'll give you money. Prepare for the opposite first. Prepare. And that is training. If you don't understand, you may think that God's word is not true. You have called me to the nation, but you are taking me to the village. Your word is not true. You say, I'm for the nation. And yet, you say, go to the village. Not knowing that the village, from the village to the nation, that is where the shortest cut is. The devil will give you his shortcut. But God's shortcut is to follow his process. He will cut it short in righteousness. Let us not give up. Don't stop believing the things you believe because you don't see results. He said, if you don't give up in due season, you shall see results. Let us wait for the due season. I was listening to Dr. Otago the day before yesterday. Then he said, there was a time they started a church and they were in the classroom. I said, I didn't know that Otago too started in the classroom. I said, oh God, we are in good company, I tell you. He started in the class. I said, they were beating the chairs with their palm. And sometimes he was bleeding. Yeah, he didn't have drums. They were beating. And there was another church supported by missionaries. And they had instruments. When they start praying and worship, they have to close. Because nobody will hear anything. But today, look at some 25 years time. Look at where they are now. They didn't give up. There are some people who fall away and give up because they see that we are going nowhere. We are going nowhere because we keep on talking and talking and talking. Nothing to show for. But hold on to God. If God said it, He will do it. If God said it, it will come to pass. If you are not prepared to go in cycles, you will not see the glory of God. Go around Jericho for seven days. Every day they will get up and they will go around Jericho. What are we doing? We are taking Jericho. Where is your sword and where is your strategy? Where is your battle plan? We are taking Jericho. Number one, it's the first day. Second day, what are we doing? We are taking Jericho. Pastor Joshua, what are we doing? We are taking Jericho. Say Jericho shall fall. Say Jericho will fall. Jericho will fall. Let's go around. Go around. And you know something? The people of Jericho will get up every day to go and see them and laugh at them. What are they doing? Coming to take Jericho. And you are just walking around Jericho. Take Jericho. But on the seventh time, something happened. Jericho came down. Why? They didn't abandon process. They went through this. They stayed true to what God has said. They believed and they saw God's glory. We will see God's glory. We will see His glory. We will not give up. We will not give up. We will see His glory. We will believe. For He has said it and He will do it. He has said He will do it. Don't be afraid. Don't get worried. Just pretend you are mad. Pretend you are a fool. Pretend you don't think. I can't take far. Pretend you can't think far. You can't think madness. Pretend I can't think far. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just marching around Jericho because God has said it. And I know in due course, if I don't give up, I will achieve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say we are going somewhere. The world may not see it, but we are going somewhere. Let them wait when the time comes. At the end, the vision will speak. The vision will speak. When your vision starts speaking, they will stop speaking. Now your vision is silent. They are speaking. Where is his God? Osoye ministry. Who did you? Osoria. Oye ministry. Oko up and down. Ojo no for Christ. Up and down. Ojo talk various. Up and down. You would your oye. You would your oye. Are you serious? Why are idle? On peg maybe I don't mean I'm sad. Let them talk. When your vision starts speaking, they will stop speaking. When your vision starts speaking, I'm telling you, listen, let me end with this. I'm telling you, we are going to show the world that God is wise. We are going to show the world that God's wisdom looks foolishness to the world. But God's wisdom is hidden in the mystery. And if we don't give up, the time will come. That is why God gives us visions to encourage us. But I'm here to announce to you, the time is now. Hallelujah. Yes, I say the time is now. The time is now. We have waited. We have paid the price. The time is now. The time of manifestation is now. God is arising as a mighty man of war to seek nations for our sakes, to remove subdue kingdoms for our sake. God is releasing His best now. The time is now. The time has come. I'm telling you, we are taking over. We are taking over. Listen, if you begin to see what I've been seeing, you understand why I'm talking like that. In the realm of the spirit, we have taken over. Power has changed hands. There's a change of guards. I'm telling you. Let me begin to pray.
Libra taya dahata. Lo bahata ya lesi. Lo trahata. Mandorobokosi. Ipaliada. Ipayandorosi. Kamayandesi. Mandorobokosi. Iko bahasa. Fayandere behete. Sokayataya. Mantiyataha. Iprotodosi. Mandiyandokosi. Ipayandakata. Kosahati. Lo prataha. Mandiriatakese. Mandurubohose. Betres. Kayandoros. Payidos. Palia palasa. Ipaliendes. Kalus kahanda. Itolobos. Ratolobos. Yandrebas. Ritayanas. Yandolobos. Ikologos. Payaleres. Ipraneres. Iprobos. Palianahanda. Ikolobose.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are praying this second prayer. We are praying that God will give us grace not to give up. There are some people, they give up when they are almost through. They give up when they are almost through. Because when the day is about to break, the night becomes thicker. The darkness becomes thicker. And so you see adversity, you see challenges growing day by day. It's because it is time. We are praying that God will give us grace. Grace to hold on to the day, to the breaking of the day, to hold on, not to give up. Because ain't a crab. Ain't a crab. So we must have the grace to hold on. There are many people that their lives are Ishmaels because they couldn't wait for Isaac. They were tired. People were calling them barren. And so they went for Hagar and gave birth to Ishmael. When Isaac came, Ishmael was accusing Isaac. We are praying, God forbid. God should help us. Give us grace. Grace to hold on. Iprahataha. Mantorobos. Iprokosa. Ipranahat. Mandoroboski. Mandorobos. Payandos. Iprades. Rabaliandes. Baluk Bahasa. Saliandakata. Losikirahantaha. Sabayanda Bahana. In the name of Jesus. Lastly, we are praying for Ghana. We are speaking to the atmosphere. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. God has a plan for Ghana. God's agenda for Ghana will be realized. Revival is coming to Ghana. Restoration is coming. Revival, renewal, restoration is coming. Peace on our land. In the name of Jesus, we have bought every satanic agenda concerning Ghana. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. Ghana will live. In the name of Jesus, Ghana will not die. Ghana will not die. Every agenda of the enemy concerning this nation, we have bought it now. We have bought it now. We have bought it now. In the name of Jesus, Kibrahanta Bahasa. Lo sahata mandurubako sikita krapahata lo sikahata labrando sikita. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lift up your hands and begin to bless his name. Begin to give him thanks. Begin to bless his name for answered prayer. Bless his name for what is coming to your life. Something is about to hit you. Is it going to break? It's coming upon us. God is breaking on us for good. He's raining on us for good. Even I, the Lord, I bring the floods. He's flooding us for good. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise you for what you've done already. We thank you for what you've done in our lives, what you've done in our families, oh God, what you've done in this nation, what you've done in the church. We pray, oh God, give us grace to hold on to you, hold on to the confidence that you gave us from the beginning, that we will not give up. For we know that in due season, if we don't give up, oh God, we'll receive the reward. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.